Take me as I am. morning. My name is Pat, and we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the wardens for overseeing and all who helped with the setup of this church space. Thank you all very much. I guess at the end we'll see how it all works, but so far, so good. It's good to be together. At the time of communion, all are welcome to receive, and I invite you to come forward to do so, or to receive a blessing, if that is your preference this morning. You'll find the order of worship in the bulletin, and do plan to stay for refreshments following the liturgy. Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May God dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the prophets, in every age you send the word of truth, familiar yet new. Let us not be counted among those who lack faith, but give us vision to see Christ in our midst and to welcome your saving word. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Je vais lire la lecture. Il me dit, Fils d'homme, tiens-toi debout car je vais te parler. Après qu'elle m'ait parlé, un esprit vint en moi. Il me fit tenir debout. Alors, j'attends celui qui me parlait. Il me dit, Fils d'homme, je t'envoie vers le fils d'Israël, vers des gens révoltés, des gens qui se sont révoltés contre moi, eux, leurs pères, jusqu'à aujourd'hui, ces fils au visage obstiné et au cœur endurci, je t'envoie vers eux. Tu leur diras, ainsi parle le Seigneur Dieu, alors qu'ils t'écoutent ou ne t'écoutent pas, car c'est une engeance des rebelles. Ils sauront qu'il y a un prophète au milieu d'eux. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into the paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking with the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin, and do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out, 2 by 2, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, or bread, or bag, or money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speak to you in the name of God, who is always calling and always sending. Amen.
Amen.
At the end of the liturgy, there is one word spoken that is really important. It is usually said in a sentence. And sometimes, maybe for that reason, its importance gets missed. But it's critical to this and to every Christian liturgy. The little word, in case you haven't guessed it, is go. The sentence is sometimes go. Here it's often go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Some variation on that theme. And here we often have a young person. It's really lovely when we do to have a young person's voice say, go and be on your way. Sometimes this part of the liturgy is actually called the sending. I have been in some parishes filling in where after we are told to go, there are several more bits of liturgy. A prayer, another verse of a hymn, another poem that everybody reads together, a blessing, and so on. Perhaps because nobody wants to leave. Here, we usually have an organ postlude intended to help our transition from liturgy to our daily lives, helping us prepare to go into the world. Well, why is the go so critical? Because the God who draws us in, and we're here for ever so many different reasons, aren't we? For refreshment, for friendship, for hope, for community, for healing. But the God who draws us in also sends us out. We gather to know God's presence in our midst and to be fed with heavenly food, but then we are sent back out to where we have come from, there to be signs of God's presence in the world in the very best ways you and I know how. Sending is a very biblical theme. There are stories throughout the scriptures, both the Hebrew and Greek, of people being both called by God and sent by God. We heard about a little bit of Ezekiel's call and commission this morning during the time of the exile in Babylon, and God told Ezekiel that the message he would have for his people might not be particularly well received, maybe not well received at all. Nevertheless, he was to go and speak God's message to God's people, which he did. In the gospel, it is the disciples whom Jesus sends. He tells them to go and do his work. Jesus is back in his hometown. He's there again. He was there just a couple of weeks ago, couple of chapters ago in Mark's gospel, or in chapter 6 today, and in chapter 3 he was there another time, and I know that because I preached on that Sunday and I remember it. And there at that time, Jesus' family had tried to rescue him, to call him out, maybe to get him off this dangerous path that they thought he was on. And at that time, Jesus looked around, he looked at those who were still listening and sharing in his message and his work, and he said, "Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister." Well, that attempt by his family to have him change course didn't work. Jesus continued his mission. He carried on teaching and healing. So this morning he's back in his hometown, this time invited, I guess, to speak in the synagogue. At first, friends and old neighbors were amazed at what he was saying. But as they listened and tried to put things together, their amazement turned ugly. And they began to take offense at him. Just who did he think he was anyway? And Jesus was amazed. This word is used several times here. The people are amazed at Jesus, but now Jesus is amazed at them, at their unbelief. And belief here isn't so much about doctrine or having the right ideas. Belief here is more about trust, and Jesus is amazed at their lack of trust. What I find amazing is something else. I find it amazing what Jesus does next in this story. He invited ordinary people, very ordinary, to share his work. And he sent them into the world to do the very same things which he had been doing. They were to call people to transformed living. They were to go head to head with the demons and to perform acts of healing. By any account, these were not, the disciples that is, were not particularly gifted people. I doubt that any of them thought of themselves as preachers or healers. Nothing indicates they had any such training. But they had been with Jesus, they had been part of his teaching and his healing and his work, and they knew him. So just as Jesus experiences this misunderstanding from his family and his hometown community, he turns to this group of people to share his work with him. At the start of this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is introduced as the Son of God. He is the long-awaited Messiah. But what we see here in Jesus' public ministry is that this mighty Savior doesn't do his work and doesn't act alone. Jesus is not a lone ranger, even in this Gospel of Mark. He's not set on some pedestal doing things that only he can do. No, he commissions, he sends, he tells the disciples, "Go and share my work. You have my authority," he says, "to do this, to teach and to heal." This is still very early in Jesus' ministry. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus invites these people to work alongside him? He gives them several instructions that I think we could read into that "go" in the dismissal part of the sending part of our liturgy today. And I want to share with you my interpretation for today of Jesus' instruction to his disciples long ago. So when you go to the places you think Jesus himself would go. Don't worry if they're not the most popular places. In fact, they probably won't be. Go with others if you can. Companionship in God's work is something to be worked at and treasured. Go and go simply. Think of that expression often used in justice work, live simply, that others may simply live. Don't overcomplicate things. You don't always need to make a big splash. I remember a few years ago reading a column in our diocesan newspaper by Canon Peter John Hobbs, our director of mission. He wrote about how he made it his practice to greet every person in his path, every day, in every activity, with a simple hello or a friendly smile. It's amazing, he said, how this simple little act can be a means of grace. I like to do that, but I like to talk to people anyway. But wherever I am, I just love to say hello, whether it's on the bus or in the grocery store lineup. Just say hello. Sometimes conversations are really amazing that follow. And go ready to receive generosity, even from strangers. Wherever you find yourself, look for those who want also to bring life and health and joy to others. They'll be there. And their path may have been very, very different from yours to get there, but be open to receive the gifts of others. Well, go ready to be rejected, even from those whom you thought might want to be on board with you. Your partners may indeed end up being different from those whom you expected. And finally, just go, because Jesus calls you to go. Maybe you're not even sure about this whole Christian thing. Maybe there are beliefs that you're unsure or uncertain about. Maybe you have difficulties with the way the church is organized or led. But you're here, we're here. And one way or another, Jesus has found a way to call us to be together here. Don't worry too much about what gifts you don't have. Remember those first very ordinary disciples. Jesus has faith in what his love can do, working through you, through me, and through us together. Amen.
God, our creator and source of our being, we join together in prayer to honor the mystery and wonder of our lives. Help us to nourish love for life and to live into a future of hope. Help us to practice the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we call to you, saying, "Gracious God, hear our prayer." We remember all who, like Jesus, have called and prayed to you through the ages. They remind us that we are not alone in our yearnings to be ever closer to your love. We pray for the church, its leaders, and our leaders at St. John's, all our volunteers, and our social outreach activities. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our world and those places of conflict. We pray for those who are suffering greatly with struggles for power. We bring to mind those affected by environmental conditions that need to change. We pray for peace between nations, peace within countries, peace between us and our earth, peace within our homes and families, and within our own hearts. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to work to foster good government to support us nationally, provincially, and locally, ever encouraging more understanding and cooperation. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for children and their families. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Grateful for the life in our bodies, we pray for lives that are diminished by the challenges of life, asking for the healing, the affirming, the listening, which will encourage and restore us. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by us all, and especially those close to our hearts, including Barb, Sarah, Pat, and Garth. We give thanks for those whom we have loved and see no longer. May their souls rest in peace. And give thanks for the life of Martha de Gelder, in whose memory flowers are given by her sister, Emmy Verdun. Gracious God,
hear our prayer.
Challenging God, teach us to know life ever on the side of the future. Keep alive in us the forward look, the high hope, the onward surge. Let us not be frozen either by the past or the present. Amen.
God has called me.
hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.